I'm Charlie Kindle. I'm the general manager for developer ecosystem, developer engagement for Windows Phone 7. I'm really excited to be here this morning to talk to you about Windows Phone 7. Patterns and practices and the effort that Microsoft's been running along this has been an interest of mine for a long time. I've been at Microsoft for almost 20 years, no, over 20 years now. I've been involved in the developer space, most of that. I did a bunch of consumer stuff as well. But in the developer space, I've been sort of responsible, and you can either blame me or thank me, depending on your perspective, for things like COM and DCOM and ActiveX and so forth, which I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with. And as we worked on those technologies, we've learned a lot of lessons. We've made some mistakes, and we've done some really great things, and we've learned from that. And I think one of the things we've learned is that, in general, we need to be much more prescriptive in both the tooling and the guidance we provide to developers so that they can build quality applications, services, and experiences. And the theme of Windows Phone 7, to a great extent, is about change and how Microsoft has changed our game. And in the developer space, one of the things that should be very apparent to those of you who've built Windows Phone applications already is that we have tried to be much more prescriptive in how you build experiences for the phone. And we've done that through the tooling, through the samples we provide, through the way we talk about it, and by investing in patterns and practices. So to me personally, it's exciting to be here. I'm glad that all of you are here. First, I'm going to ask a question. How many of you have actually built a Windows Phone 7 application? Looks like maybe a quarter of you. How many of you actually have those in marketplace right now? None of you. Oh, one. Right on. Congratulations. You are one of the roughly 777 applications that are currently live in the Windows Phone 7 marketplace as of yesterday. Yesterday was our first availability of the phone in the world. It started going on sale first in New Zealand. And then followed up in Europe, we're starting to get the first reviews in. And each time we've gone through a milestone with this project, and we've done a public kind of facing deal where we got reviews, internally we've been really kind of pleasantly surprised by the response. We knew we were doing good stuff. We knew we'd made a bunch of hard decisions we thought were good decisions, but you really don't know until people start using it and reviewing it and being very, very frank. And again, with the news we're seeing yesterday, all these quotes are from reviews that popped yesterday. And some of them, it's pretty powerful statements from some of these people about the product. How many of you have actually been able to use a Windows Phone 7 device? All right. Not a lot of you, so I will actually do some. I wasn't sure how much demoing I should do. I've got four examples of production devices up here, plus one pre-production device, and I'll kind of show those off, do a little bit of demos, and basically spend the first half of the time talking about some high-level stuff about Windows Phone 7 with the idea that we can spend the second half of the conversation with you asking questions. I hope that most of your questions you ask are about the developer experience. I can talk about where we're going from a strategy perspective, why we made certain end-user decisions. But I'd much rather, since we're all developers, focus on developer topics, if that's okay with you. How many of you previously or currently use Windows mobile devices? Okay, so you're very familiar with how we operated in the Windows mobile space or in the smartphone space prior to Windows Phone 7. Our model generally prior to Windows Phone 7 was one where we built a product for the largest possible audience we could. We did not directly build the product for end users. We built it for our mobile operator and device manufacturing partners, and we let them assemble the product and ship it. We had a strategy around a very heterogeneous device ecosystem where we encouraged diversity in the devices that were out there. All these were good decisions that we made at the time. and they led to us having a strong success in the smartphone market. However, along the way, some competitors came in with a different model, and primarily Apple. And they demonstrated a completely different model, a very vertically oriented model, where they were much more prescriptive, almost to an extreme. And it was clear that we needed to change our game, that the model that we had set before simply was not going to work. And if we didn't change our game, we would not be a player in the smartphone market. And personally, being a long, you know, I bleed Microsoft, and I've been, you know, the company for a long time. Personally, to me, the smartphone, the phone, is the most personal of personal computers. And Microsoft is fundamentally the personal computer company. So to me personally, it feels like it's kind of our birthright to have a say in the smartphone market. So being on a course and a direction where we did not think we could be successful was untenable. So we changed the model. And we really changed our model and our game along three lines. The first thing we did is we said, let's focus on design, and let's focus on making sure we're building a product for the end user. The basic idea from a strategy perspective is, if we can make end users love the product so that it flies off the shelves because it's so appealing from an end user design, aesthetic, usability perspective, then other things will good things will happen after that. And so we put end user first. And so for the course of the last 18, 20 months, which is really how long we've been working on this project, we have made end user king. And where in Windows Mobile in the past, we said the mobile operator was first, and we would do whatever the mobile operators asked us to do, we changed our model on that. We said, no. If it isn't end user valuable and it doesn't deliver end user value, then we shouldn't do it. And we also invested heavily in design. And I think as you see the design aesthetic that comes across in Windows Phone 7, you see the reviews we're getting in the press, and as you use the phone, you'll see it. You absolutely will see and feel it. We have invested in design, in a beautiful, engaging user experience. I'll talk a little bit how that impacts the developer ecosystem in a minute, but I'm going to skip that for now. The second place where we invested in a change is in the platform itself, in enabling third parties to innovate on the platform. Fundamentally, this is the core of what my job has been for the last 18 months, is to drive this. And it's been a lot of fun to be able to go in and really look at this from a fresh perspective. To give you an idea of the difference between Windows Mobile and now, when I joined the effort, when I moved off of building Windows Home Server and was asked to go drive the developer ecosystem for Windows Phone, I joined the team and I said, okay, what are my resources? At that time, there were 1.5 full-time headcount within the mobile communications business dedicated to building the Windows Mobile SDK. Those of you who'd done Windows Mobile development probably noticed that. I would not be surprised if you scratched your head and said, why is this stuff so whatever? Right now, as we are you know, in market, and you know, for the last 18 months or so, if you added up all of the people across Microsoft, and that's one of the beauties of our investment here, is we've actually engaged across Microsoft, who you ask them, what is your full-time job? They would say, Windows Phone 7 application platform and tools. 300-400 people, easily. Spans the Xbox group, developer division and Visual Studio, the runtime, Silverlight.net, and of course, the core Windows Phone 7 team. We took an attitude here, which was, and you, this hopefully, I think this will resonate with you as developers and customers of Microsoft. There's one thing that Microsoft is really good at, and that's showing our organizational boundaries to our developers. You get it. And we had a mantra for the app platform for Windows Phone 7. We said, do not show our organizational boundaries. Break down those barriers within the company and make sure what we present to developers is a cohesive whole. One Microsoft, one effort. How many of you have seen the new create.msdn.com website? Okay, create.msdn.com. That is the new developer portal for Windows Phone and Xbox 360 development. That is where you go to learn, to ingest and submit, and to track the business of your products for both your Xbox 360 titles and your Windows Phone titles. That's evidence of us breaking those barriers down. The fact that the Windows Phone application platform is a cohesive mix of .NET, Silverlight, and XNA, and it is all brought together is further evidence of that. So then the next major place where we changed our game is how we thought about the hardware ecosystem and our partner ecosystem. How many of you who've used Windows Mobile in the past ever saw Windows Update work on your Windows Mobile device? Yeah. If you raise your hand, only one of two things could be true. You didn't really understand the question or your line, or you work at Microsoft and you had some sort of internal build. You might wonder, we built Windows Update into Windows Mobile. Why didn't it work? And the reason was that device heterogeneity that we built into the system. There are literally thousands of variants of Windows Mobile out there. Every single one of them has effectively a different operating system on it. It's impossible to update. So this leads to why we needed to change our game with Windows Phone 7. And what we've done is we've created a much more homogeneous, consistent hardware ecosystem where we, instead of shipping an a la carte operating system, an embedded operating system that our partners then take and piece together to create a phone, we actually ship a phone operating system that has everything in it that will make an end user happy. Everything the user needs, from the dialer to the touch input panel, to a set of built-in applications and experiences that are rich and exciting. All of those are built in. And then we standardized the hardware. We basically said to all of our OEM partners and device manufacturing partners, here is the spec. Within that spec, there are places where you can innovate, where you can extend and change, but it's very prescriptive. And we gave our partners ability to do differentiation within those things. It's a very different model. And what it results in is I've got five devices up here, and they're all different. They have a different feel to them. They have slightly different screen sizes. Some of them have very unique features, like this HTC unit that's one of the ones that will be on sale in the U.S. It's called the HTC Surround. It's got a built-in stereo speaker and a little kickstand, so you can set it up and watch movies. So we're driving our device partners to do great innovation and very interesting things, but in a very prescriptive way. This has a couple key benefits for the rest of the ecosystem. First, for end users. It means that an end user who wants to buy an application and use an application has high confidence that no matter which phone they own, it'll work. They don't have to worry about downloading an application and finding out that it doesn't work. They see an application on someone else's phone, they know that it'll work on theirs. From a developer's perspective, we hear this all the time. Developers are tired of having to test on every single device. I was meeting with a set of Android developers earlier this year. It was a small company, 10-15 developers building Android apps. And they told me the story of how they test their applications for Android. They have a drawer, and every time they're ready to do a release, they pull the drawer open, they get all the phones out, lay them out on a table, and they run through and they test their application on all of those devices. And some of those devices are the same device with just a different build of the OS on them. They do all that testing, they get their application going, they prop it out to the customers, and they still get phone calls and returns. That your app didn't work on my Android device. They've named that drawer their drawer of broken dreams. And I tell that story because our approach is radically different from that. Our approach is one of ensuring that developers know that if you build your application, it's going to work on all Windows Phone phones. And you're going to be able to know that end users are going to have that confidence. Thus, end users are going to buy more applications. And we will all prosper because of that. A little bit on design. We have this concept of smart design that we've applied to the product. It has resulted in a phone experience that is different. If you compare the look and feel of Windows Phone 7 to the other smartphones, it is strikingly different. We didn't set out to make it different. We just stepped back from the problem and said, what is a smartphone, what should it be, and how can we apply smart design to that? And as a result, we've created a product that is optimized for smartphones. It is not a desktop operating system, operating system metaphors crammed into a 4-inch device. It is optimized for the smartphone experience. And we built a bunch of integrated experiences within that. Things like the fact that it is a Zune phone. It includes a rich music and video integrated experience that's powered by Zune. It is an Xbox phone. It has best of breed mobile gaming experiences powered by Xbox Live. This will be a good opportunity to do a quick demo, because this is one of the more cool things. I might be in trouble here because I may not have set this one up, and I'm getting ahead of myself. But we'll give it a try. See if I've done it or not. If not, we'll take the time to. So here's some Xbox Live games. I haven't downloaded that yet, so we'll go and. How many of you have seen the marketplace in action? Okay, you're seeing Windows Phone 7 marketplace. I'm going to go and download a title for Xbox Live Marketplace called Xbox Live Extras, and I'll go ahead and get that started while I talk. You'll notice that it asked if I'd already purchased that app. It's a free app. It asked, hey, you've already installed this, you've already purchased it, are you sure you want to? When you buy an application on Windows Phone 7, you're able to use that across 5 different phones. And so if you get a new phone, those apps automatically deploy to the new phone you've gotten. So it's downloading and installing that. While it's doing that, I'll switch back to the slides. It's an office phone. It has very rich office integrated experience. It's a people phone. It integrates with your social network and with integrated experiences. So all of those things are part of that integrated experience theme. All right, while that's finishing, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the application platform and the developer experience. I like to talk about these three items because these were the goals, the priorities that we laid down for the team when we started. And these are listed in priority order. And so the way you read this is imagine yourself as a developer, a program manager, a tester, designer, a documentation person on the Windows Phone team or within developer division focused on Windows Phone. And what was the first goal you got up every morning? Say, this is what my job is. The first job is to make sure that end users can successfully personalize their phone experience through applications and games. So it's an end user first goal. Then the second goal is, wow, if we're going to get all those applications and games, someone's going to have to do it in a way where they're profitable. So how do we make sure that developers could be profitable in doing that? And then the third goal is today, and you know this as well as all the developers on the earth because of the fact you're at this conference, applications today are not built from the client out. They're built from the cloud first. There's very few examples of applications today that are purely client-side code. The Level app, right? The one that allows me to, you know, see if my picture frame's level. Okay, maybe that's client-side only. But the vast majority of applications that end users care about today are built because there's a service in the cloud that's important, there's content in the cloud that's important, or there's some sort of social network and relationship that's in the cloud that's important. And then client-side experiences are built that are optimized for that particular client, whether it's an Xbox 360, whether it's a phone, whether it's a PC. And so our third goal for the application platform was to enable developers to build that type of application as a first-class citizen. If you're not aware of the tooling system and the platform we've created, basically what we've done is we've taken Visual Studio, Expression Blend, Silverlight, XNA for game development, And we package those all together in a cohesive whole that creates the Windows Phone 7 developer experience. When I wrote this slide, I said variety. Now that we know that we've gotten the engagement from developers, I want to talk about the breadth as well, like the number of apps, because we are seeing, I mentioned earlier that we hit this milestone in the marketplace where today there's almost 800 apps, a day after the availability of the phone in the marketplace ahead of whatever any other smartphone had done at their launch. And they're interesting, compelling, and beautiful applications. And those applications can take advantage of those integrated experiences and the unique features of the phone. Again, if you haven't been to create.msdn.com, it's the place to go. I'm going to shift back to the demo now. It looks like this is done. I've actually never demoed this in public before, so this will be a fun... Oops. Just need to click here. So the way this works is we have internal builds of Windows Phone that allow us to use the USB and capture the video and touch out to a display. And that's what I'm seeing here. So this isn't an emulator. This is actually this phone. And you'll see that when I touch on the screen, it shows where I'm touching with a little orange dot. And what you're seeing here is the gaming hub for Windows Phone 7. It is the center of your universe for Xbox Live gaming on the phone. You can see some of the titles that I've already installed on this phone, including Rocket Riot, Star Wars based tower defense game, Twin Blades, and the Xbox Live Extras. There are currently 22 Xbox Live titles in the catalog, and they range from Monopoly to Flight Control. And they're all very high-quality premium game experiences. But I want to show you this thing called the Xbox Live Extras. When I set up the phone, I connected with my Live ID, which is also my gamer tag on my Xbox 360. It's also my Zoom tag for Zoom. And immediately when I come into the Xbox Live Extras, oh, bummer, I've set this phone set up with... This is not actually my phone. I'm not Joel, and that doesn't look like me. If this was my phone, you'd see a little bald guy wearing jeans. But this is one of my colleagues, Joel. But you can see that right on the phone, I have my avatar from my Xbox 360. And if I were to go in and modify this avatar, which I can go do, I could go change Joel's his name. I can go in and change what he's wearing with an avatar editor. If I do this and I'm sitting in front of my Xbox 360, those changes show up on my Xbox 360. It's an example of a truly integrated experience across multiple screens. I don't want to mess with Joel's cool outfit, though. So that gives you an idea of the richness of the platform. Real quickly, I'll show an example of the marketplace, just to give you another idea of the types of applications and games we're seeing in the marketplace. Let's go and see new. No, I want to find... Let's do this. One of the things that my team's been working on is with... making sure that the most obvious top brands and applications are available. And over the last couple of days, we've been propping those up there. And one of the ones that hit this morning is the official Twitter client. And so we now have an official Twitter client for Windows Phone 7. I have not installed it on this device yet. It's a free app. Hello. Might be having Wi-Fi problems. I don't have a SIM in this phone. All right. We'll come back to that. So what I want to do now is I'm going to shift to the overhead. I'm going to show you just some of these devices so you can see the variety of devices that we have in marketplace today. Can we switch to this? Okay. So the first one I'm going to show you is the one I showed already, which is the HTC Surround. And this device will be available here for sale at AT&T on November 8th. And the cool thing about it is it's got this really nice speaker set up, so you can use it for watching movies or listening to podcasts or whatever. I use it for Netflix. The Netflix client that we have, which I must have installed, Break.com works just as well. By the way, this is a total time waster app. It's probably politically incorrect for me to show any of the videos that are on here and here. But it's an example of the type of application that we're seeing pop up in marketplace. Very high quality experiences. They're beautiful, engaging. The video integration for all these is really phenomenal. So that's the HTC Surround. This device is the HTC Mozart, and it's actually not a U.S. device. This will be in the U.K. and other parts of the world. And the coolest thing about this device, from my perspective, is it's got this unibody construction chassis, where this whole piece here all the way around is one piece, and only this little piece down here comes off to remove the battery and access your SIM. And so it's got a really great high-quality feel to it, and it's got a really, really nice display, and it's light. I like that one. This device is also another European device, which is the LG LC900, and I haven't set it up yet, so it's still in the out-of-box experience mode. But the cool thing about this device, and this is the one that my wife is the biggest fan of because she hates touchscreen keyboards, is it has a full QWERTY keyboard. Because she's got fingernails, she can't stand typing on the screen, she has to have one of these. This device feels great in your hand as well. And then this is the HTC, the Samsung Omnia 7, which is a, and this one's actually a pre-production version of it, but you wouldn't notice that. This device will be available in AT&T here. It's got this amazing super AMOLED display, and it's just a stunning, beautiful display. So that gives you an idea of some of the hardware and the differentiation we're seeing in our partners. These devices have now all been reviewed publicly, and if you go on the inner tubes, you will find tons of reviews, details on the various different hardware that's out there. That gets through the content that I wanted to focus on. I wanted to make sure we spent a bunch of time on questions, and this is just about right. I do want to close with one thing, just to maybe kick that question and answer off, which is a discussion of the a discussion of the topic of patterns and practices. As you're probably aware, we've invested in, and the patterns and practice team has delivered a patterns and practice guide for Windows Phone 7. It's on CodePlex, I'm really, really happy with the results. I think it's a fantastic asset for developers, and it really helps you do two things. One, it helps you really understand how to build these service-enabled experiences for Windows Phone 7 in a structured way, and two, it helps you build beautiful applications, and we think that's really important. The applications that are going to be the most successful in Windows Phone are those that have beautiful, clean user interfaces. And so the call to action, you know, go get that guide, study it, read it, apply it. Get the tools. The tools are free. That version of Visual Studio that we provide, free. The version of Expression Blend that's included in the download, free. XNA Game Studio included in the single download, free. The Windows Phone emulator allows you to build your applications and games without having to have a real device, free. Go get it. Get started, and then submit those applications in the marketplace. So, with that, let's do questions. Yeah?
I like the story you've offered around improving the coverage on the SDK, but But one thing that's been a real struggle for me, at least, has been the XAML support in Silverlight Windows, Silverlight Mac, WPF, and phone all varies. And traditionally, the source of information I can find on those variations are not from Microsoft. Is that intentional? You're trying to make sure you engage the community by leaving a hole and seeing who steps in? Or is that an unfortunate oversight that you guys are going to...
So I'll repeat the question. The question is, for XAML-based development on Windows Phone, on the PC, other platforms, there are differences in those platforms. And the assertion is that we've not done a great job in our own documentation of making clear what those differences are. And it's left to the community to kind of figure them out. It's certainly not our intention to have the community do our work for us in that way. And I do recognize that it is a problem that we face today, that there is there are enough differences that seem arbitrary, and those are the worst, by the way. Any difference where we have where it's not a deterministic difference, where it's not obvious why it's different, is bad. I agree with that. The documentation tries, we made an effort to try and articulate those differences, but I think it's growing pains. I think we're just getting there. It's something we're committed to addressing, and it's going to take time. We appreciate the fact that the community helps us with that, and it's one of the great things of a rich developer ecosystem is we all get a profit from that type of thing. You know, the best way to learn is to teach and so forth. So we appreciate the community's help in that, but we are going to continue to invest in it as much as we can. And so specific feedback is very helpful. You can always send me email directly. Say, hey, I noticed this. This doesn't work the way it does in WPF. The documentation doesn't say that it does that. Can you fix that? I will make sure that gets to our documentation people, absolutely.
Do you want to Twitter to you?
No, ckindle at Microsoft, ckindle@microsoft.com. If you Twitter me questions and I happen to see them, I generally will de-message you back saying send it to me at microsoft.com. So, yes? So the question is what are we doing different to help developers get their apps noticed? Well, the first thing is over the last 9 months, we've been running a showcase program. We went out to the developer community starting last winter, and it really kicked it off almost a year ago now, where we went out to the developer community and we said, hey, we're doing this, and we got some programs. You interested? We brought several thousand developers in and gave them an opportunity to get into the showcase program early. Out of that, we've landed a bunch of applications that the real reward for them getting in early is featured status within the marketplace. We have some other co-marketing things we do. And so we're in a mode right now where we are executing on those expectations. The way to think about it is marketplace is like a retail store. And we've built it in such a way where we have the ability to have end caps and assortment within that retail store where we can give premier placement to partners. And a bunch of that inventory we've already dedicated because we have a bunch of partners we've already engaged with. But there's a bunch of the inventory we've left in reserve. And here's what you do if you want to take advantage of that inventory. The first thing and the most important thing is you build a high-quality, beautiful experience. If your application is ugly, has bugs, isn't truly end-user interesting, then we're probably not going to want to invest. But if it's beautiful, we will want to highlight that. So the first thing you have to do is you have to go build the applications, and you have to invest in design. Second thing you need to do is if you register on Developer Marketplace, on create.developer.com, you automatically get it registered in our developer programs and our mailings, and you get access to where you can submit your ideas. There's currently, I can't remember the name of the DL right now, but if you go to the website, there's an email address you can send your synopsis of your application with a picture and a video to. And then we use that to evaluate what we should be co-marketing. We also do region-specific things. So, for example, if you're in the UK, there's stuff that the UK field does specifically to highlight applications. So that's the high level on that. Yes? So I'll rearticulate the question as this. Prior, in the prior world of Windows Mobile, we supported developers building embedded devices and scenario-specific devices using the Windows Mobile operating system. Windows Phone is a phone operating system. It is designed for smartphones. We are continuing to invest in Windows CE and the NT code-based embedded products. For embedded markets, and we've actually changed the model, where the core OS is now built and delivered by the phone team, and then exposed via embedded, and we are continuing to invest in that, and we will continue to. It's a critically important business. So, yeah. That's a different question. So the question you've asked is, will we be building Windows Phone 7 for the business market? Here's how we look at that. Windows Phone 7 today is built for people. It's built for human beings. And those human beings have busy personal lives and busy work lives. And we've built the product to satisfy their needs in both of those cases. It is a phenomenal business phone. The email, calendaring, SharePoint, Office capabilities, integrated experience that we built into Windows Phone 7 is best of breed for business users. There should be no doubt about that. We've invested heavily in that.
Yeah, but I mean, if I want to build for a certain company myself.
So that said, one of the things that we were not able to deliver in this release is the ability for corporations to deploy applications that are specific to their own users in a separate marketplace. If you want to do that today, if you have a business and you build an application you want only to have access, let's say I'm Microsoft, and I want to have the Microsoft bus schedule, shuttle schedule app that shows the Microsoft shuttles for Microsoft employees, and I want to make that only available to Microsoft employees, really, kind of unfortunately, the only way you can do that with this version of the product is to build the app, submit it into the public marketplace, but make it so that it has an initial authentication when the user runs it that only Microsoft employees would have access to. It's a limitation we have in the platform right now. It was a decision we made explicitly. We want to enable those other scenarios. We want to do them right. And we didn't feel that in this time frame we could deliver on them fully. And using the spirit of do a few things and do them very, very well, which is our mantra, we chose not to invest in that. Up here.
Why are there two screen resolutions that are going to be important? Why is the second resolution going to be a lower resolution?
So the question is why are there two screen resolutions? And why is the second one lower resolution? We have announced, and at MIX and other forums, we did talk about our intent to have a lower screen resolution. We made the decision early on to focus on the larger form factor first, and we with the idea that we would go after other form factors later. And we felt it was really important to inform the ecosystem, our partners, that we had that intention, because we knew that having those two screen resolutions would be the biggest challenge for people targeting their applications on multiple variants. Since that time, we have softened our stance on whether we're going to do that or not. And so as of right now, we have no definitive plans to support a second screen resolution. From a developer perspective, as you're writing your code, you should be cognizant of the fact that we've laid out where we may go if we go to a smaller screen resolution, so you don't do stupid things within your code, right? But there's nothing imminent that we've announced. Okay? Yes.
Avanat today
Yeah, it's a great question. So on Windows Mobile 6 and before, we had a very rich API for being able to have third parties be able to, you know, plug in under the email experience. In Windows Phone 7, we don't have that same API. That does not exist. So you cannot build some of those same experiences on Windows Phone 7. We understand the scenarios. It was an explicit decision to not invest in that in this time frame for the same reason I said before. We didn't think we could do it right and still protect the end user experience. But it's absolutely something we're interested in doing. The best thing you can do there is you can send us prioritized list of the things that you'd like to see. And we're always listening to that. We think we have a pretty good idea, but more data is always valuable. Okay? Yes.
What about if you are talking about business use of this call? What about VPN?
So the question is what about VPN? Right now, Windows Phone 7 doesn't support VPN. There's no VPN solutions available for it. We want to support VPN, and we hope to be able to do that in the future. We have no time frame or announcements for that. Yes?
Can you share anything about the timeline of future releases?
No. The question is, can I share anything about the timeline of future releases? And we haven't announced anything there, so I can't be specific. I can say the following. I talked about Windows Update before and Windows Mobile and how it didn't work. We're really confident with Windows Phone 7 that it works. And we've invested heavily in making sure that we have a deterministic, high-quality way of delivering updates to all Windows phones. So we have the ability, which we didn't before, which slowed us down. So we feel good about that. Now the question is when's the right time? When do we have the right, you know, the right set of things and so forth? And we haven't announced anything there. Yes. So the question is, first the assertion, which is on Windows Mobile, if you did do an update, if God save you, your mobile operator said, gave you an update you could use, when you did that, it was a destructive update. It was basically a factory reset to get you going again. And what's the story there with Windows Phone 7? I'm happy to be able to say that we actually nailed that problem too. And we believe that updates will, we've already tested this, that updates preserve user data, preserve settings, and so forth. And by the way, the user experience for that is all handled within the Zune software. And I don't know how many of you have actually used the Zune software. Where'd it go? There it is. How many of you have used the Zune software? Okay. Even if you don't have a Windows Phone 7 device yet, go download it. Go to Zune.net, download the latest version. One, it's a killer MP3 player. It is so much better than iTunes. It's hilarious. It really is. I'm not just saying this. Try it. Second, you have visibility into the Windows Phone 7 app marketplace. Just download it, go in, you can come into marketplace and click on apps, and you'll see the entire Windows Phone 7 application catalog. You'll be able to go browse it, view descriptions, see screenshots. Just doing that is a reason enough to do it. But this is where you manage your Windows Phone 7 device. It's where you synchronize photos to it. It's where you manage updates, as I mentioned before. And it's also a place where you can purchase applications and games. So, for example, if I go into settings and I go to phone, I can go to update. The phone isn't actually connected correctly right now, but it would show you have no new updates. And then if there was, I'd hit update and it would update the phone. Yes? Good question. Does this application work on a Macintosh? It does if your Macintosh is running Windows. Sorry, that was bad. We've announced that we are providing a application for the Mac OS that will allow you to connect your Windows Phone to your Mac OS and synchronize your iTunes libraries and everything. It doesn't have the full Zune experience, but it does allow you, if you have Macintosh, to have a great experience with your Windows Phone, do updates, things like that. In the very back.
Actually, two questions. One is tethering, and the other is
Okay, so the first question is, what's our plan for support for tethering? And by tethering, we mean the ability to use my phone as a router modem for my PC. The second question is, what are our plans to support other operating systems as a client, like the server OSs? The first question, we don't have tethering in this release. Just wasn't on the something that we were able to prioritize high enough to get done in a high quality fashion. We know there's demand for it. We understand the importance of it, but we don't have it now. The second question on this, on other operating systems, I actually don't know our actual matrix of client support. It wouldn't surprise me if we didn't do enough testing on the server operating systems to be able to officially support it. That's the only answer I have. So, yes. So the question is, are there any plans to enable developers to purchase phones with discounts and things like that? We have not announced anything yet. We are working on something that is imminent. Where we want to make it easy for developers who, for example, don't have, are already on a contract and they don't want to have to go get a new one to be able to get a phone for development. We have something coming soon that we'll be able to talk about. We do have the intent on doing that. Here? So the question is, what are the policies and so forth for the marketplace? If you go to create.msdn.com, which is what I'm showing you right here, and go to, I believe it's under, maybe it's under here. There we go. There we go. Application certification requirements. It's downloaded in the PDF file. And this is, you know, publicly available. Our intent with certification of applications for Windows Phone 7 is that that we are as transparent as possible on what our policies are. So we've attempted to document them. We have to have some certification policies to ensure a great user experience. We just fundamentally believe that. But what we've done is it's a 25-page document that covers all of the policies that we test for. And our goal is that as a developer, if you ever submit an application and it fails certification, we have failed if you don't go, oops, that was my fault. Right? It should never be something where we were confusing or ambiguous. Now, we're not perfect there. We'll always be iterating on this. We know we even have issues right now where people are getting rejected and we didn't tell them why. But that's a bug. And so that's where you can get the policies from. Was there a second part of the question? I'm not sure I understand the question. Oh, the price point. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. So the question is do we control the price point for applications and games on Windows Phone 7? I'm not going to talk about the Xbox Live games because there's a different process there. But for standard applications in the marketplace, we have pricing tiers that you can select, but we have no, you can choose whatever you want. You can make free, you can charge $99 for it. It's up to you. Yes? So the question is, really, the crux of it is, today, the Xbox 360 does not support Silverlight development. And so if you build a game for Windows Phone 7 using Silverlight versus XNA, you can't move your code between the two platforms. That is a fact we have today. We have not announced our plans to support Silverlight on the Xbox 360, but we... it's something that we absolutely are listening to, and we just haven't announced anything there.
Can I read into that?
I don't want to get in trouble, so no. That said, we really believe that most game development that's Xbox Live enabled, actually that's not true. We're seeing actually quite a bit of activity of people building Silverlight-based games that are Xbox Live enabled. Just to be clear, you can build an Xbox Live enabled game using Silverlight today for Windows Phone. You absolutely can. You just are not going to be able to make that game portable easily to the Xbox 360. Back here. Yeah, so the question is, if you're doing development for Windows Phone application or game using Visual Studio running in a virtual machine, the emulator has issues. And are we going to do anything to address that? Let me first explain the technology, which helps get to potentially the answer. The Windows Phone emulator is actually a version of Windows Phone 7 compiled for x86. Like, these devices are all MIPS, or I'm sorry, aren't MIPS, geez, ARM-based devices, right? So the version of Windows Phone 7 that's on here is compiled for ARM. The emulator is actually compiled for x86. And it's running in a VM on your workstation. It's actually using the same VM virtual machine technology that we use for Hyper-V and all those things. And because of that, you end up getting this nested VM situation if you run it within a virtual machine. We understand we have bugs there. I'm not sure that we understand. I'll be frank, I don't think we understand how prevalent it is and how important it is. So we'd like to hear from you in terms of how much angst that causes you as developers. We understand there is some pain there, but whether it's a massive problem or not, or just something that really annoys you, we don't know. Fair enough? Yeah.
You said there was software that you were running that was internal that allowed you to take the phone and display it instantly.
Yes.
Can we get a hold of
that? No. So the question is the ability to remotely display onto a PC. We have software that does that internally. It's just not the way it's done. I have to be careful here. The way it's done isn't at the point where we could let it be used externally. It's just not there. Something we know is important. God, I wish we had gotten it done, because understand the need. It's just not there. Sorry. Yep. So the question is there any plans to bring Windows Phone 7 to things like barcode scanners, symbol devices? This is basically the same question this gentleman asked earlier, which is, is Windows Phone 7 intended to be used as an embedded operating system in other classes of devices? And the answer to that is no. It is a phone operating system for smartphones to be purchased by humans and used in their personal and business lives. We have another product line around embedded that is intended for those embedded marketplaces, and that's the direction we're going. Yeah.
Currently, the Windows Phone 7 is Silverlight 3. Is there plans for upgrading to Silverlight 4 or thereafter?
So the question is currently the version of Silverlight that the Windows Phone application platform is based on is a derivative of Silverlight 3. It's actually has a bunch of Silverlight 4 stuff in it. It has some stuff that it doesn't exist in either. So it's not completely a pure subset, we're being completely transparent. What are the plans to make it more in line with Silverlight 4? We haven't announced anything there, but we have been clear that we understand that is a issue. We understand that, and we don't want it to be an issue. But we haven't announced any plans. Yes? So the question is, currently, if you want to store data locally, you have isolated storage, and we don't provide a a structured database API on top of that today. What are our plans there? We actually really tried to get, there actually is SQL CE on the device. SQL CE is on the device. And we tried to get linked to SQL as a feature, as the primary data access mechanism on top of that in this release. We couldn't do it in a quality way in this time frame. We'd like to get to that. We haven't announced any plans for when we'll actually do that, but we do recognize its importance. Yes?
Can you or will you be able to test drive applications in Zoom application that you said for actual downloading and having your device?
It's a great question. Great question. The question is it possible to test drive applications without a phone? Fundamentally, within the Zoom marketplace. Today, no, we do not have a mechanism for doing that. What we do have, though, is if you do have a phone, we built the platform so it's extremely easy for developers to build trial versions of their applications, free trials. Matter of fact, we encourage all applications that are not free to have trial support. It's really easy to do as a developer. And most of the applications we're seeing in the marketplace today that are paid applications do have trials. That makes it very easy for you as a user with a phone to download and try an application at no cost. If you don't like it, uninstall it. If you like it, you click on the buy button, and you're taken into the marketplace. You're able to be charged and go. One note on trial. This is for any of you doing development. It's one of the places where we're seeing a significant performance problem with applications when they actually end up on real phones developed through the marketplace. The IsTrial API behaves differently on a real device where the app was purchased from marketplace. And there's no way to simulate that. It takes 60 milliseconds for the call to succeed. And people have made the mistake of calling IsTrial in a loop. Right, so we have a game running at 3 frames per second because they're calling this trial. So, just a note, if you call this trial, call it once and cache the result. There is a pattern and practice for you. yeah, go ahead again. The question is what tools do we provide for automated testing? We've tried to make sure we don't break any of the existing automated test harnesses that people use. One of the bets on .NET and on Silverlight is the ability to take all of the great infrastructure that they're using for Silverlight.NET development forward. That said, beyond what's built into Visual Studio and the Windows Phone developer tools today for debugging and so forth, we don't have a lot of first-party direct support. But there's a lot of third-party stuff out there. Yeah.
Today we use Candigo and some other third parties for selling our apps. Is the marketplace going to be the only way to get apps to the end user for Windows 7?
So the question is, on Windows Mobile, there's other places where end users can discover and purchase apps. What's the plan with Windows Phone 7? We think it's really important from an end user perspective that end users have one place to go to, where they know they can find everything. And they have the same billing relationship with their mobile operator or their credit card, and the discovery mechanism accrues across that. We also think it's important for developers. The developers know that that they can have one place that they submit their application to, and it's going to reach the broadest number of customers. So the simple answer is no, we don't support other marketplaces for Windows Phone 7 applications. The only way an application gets onto a phone that's not been set up for developer purposes is via the marketplace. Okay, I'll take 2 more questions.
How about internal app stores within the enterprise?
That's a great question. It's similar to a question someone else asked earlier. Is there ability for me to have an internal marketplace as a corporation for just my employees for Windows Phone 7 applications? In this release, no. It's something that we want to deploy. We want to make happen. We haven't announced any concrete plans for that yet, though.
Do you have plans or timeline?
I just said we haven't announced any plans for that at all. So, in the back.
Can you say anything about when you will go live in other European countries, especially
the Scandinavian? That's a great question, and it is What can I announce when we're going to go live and support the phone in other Scandinavian countries besides the 17 or 18 countries worldwide that we're supporting with Windows Phone 7? We haven't announced anything there. I will say, while it's a change from where we were before, and it's a change from some of our other products where we have much more global reach, for Windows Phone 7, it is the most ambitious smartphone launch of any smartphone ever. We are available in more countries and more regions around the world by far than any other smartphone was at their launch. And it's really hard to do that. It's expensive. We think it's important. We will continue to go further. But we're actually very proud of what we've been able to pull off here. You're just going to have to be patient with us as we get to the next ones. It is what it is. All right, I'll do one more. Yes. So the question is are we going to enable any sort of purchasing of unlocked devices? And let me be very, very clear what I mean by that. We mean carrier unlocked, where the phone is not tied to a particular carrier. Are we going to make that available? It's actually kind of the same question that a gentleman over here asked, which is, are we going to make phones available to developers? Yes, we are. We haven't announced the specifics of that yet, but it's imminent. You as a developer will be able to go and buy a phone that will work modulo differences in 3G standards will work regardless of carrier. Okay, we're over time. Time for me to shut up. Thank you again for taking the time to attend the symposium. Thank you again for your support of Microsoft and our technologies. And I encourage you to go dive into the developer tools. They're free. It's a single download, 10-minute, 15-minute setup, and you will have your first Windows Phone application running in the emulator in less than a minute after you've gotten Visual Studio visible the first time. It's that easy to get started. Then, as you guys know, the last 10% is the last 90%. So thank you again for your time, and just thank you.